Welcome to the Mudstack Podcast, all the fits that make news.
The whole world gone crazy! Well, I heard Biden was a loser. I mean, look, Joe never got more than 1%.
And now, your hosts.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 223, the Mod State Podcast. As always, thank you for tuning in wherever you are in the world, because we know where you are. That's the beauty of data analytics. So, with that, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. Glad to be here. Excellent. As always, good to have you back.
Sure,
everybody agrees.
Well, I don't know. The data doesn't quite show that, but I'll take that compliment.
Well, you know what? Our consistency begs us, or inconsistency rather, begs us with our loyal audience to do better. We do promise to do better than 11 days. We know it's a bit of a jump, because that's the number one negative feedback, of course, as always, we've gotten is, hey, are y'all weekly, bi-weekly? You know, we acknowledge that. It's not something that's irreparable, though.
Well, given the right circumstances,
I think we've done pretty good.
Yeah, and given the circumstance, given an alternative reality, I think we'd be trying to push one out in some sort of video format, or like we've been threatening and whatnot. But, you know, I think as the...
Oh, gosh, of course. Yeah, absolutely, I think, where we'd be right now otherwise.
As the listenership picks up, and I think there's an increased demand for video, I think we'll head that direction again. So,
yeah. But, no, it's a minor note. I don't say that to be negative by any means. I say that to say I feel like we've managed to do a lot, and a big part of it, of course, thank you to the listeners. But in spite of all of this, you know.
Indeed. So, well, before we get started, as always, head over to modstate.com for more opinion pieces, links to the podcast, ways that you can get a hold of us. And, you know, as always, we appreciate our listenership, and it continues to remain constant and steady upticks with more embeds and comments, and so just keep that coming. You know, it seems like the last several podcasts have been dedicated to COVID-19, and of course, it's just touched every part of society, to the economy, culturally, politically, but... You know, more to see after Memorial Day weekend. I realize that the pictures in the media, et cetera, are not indicative of, it's just a sample size. It's not indicative of the broader population, but, you know, we will certainly see. And again,
the beaches in Florida were packed.
And look, I get it.
No, I don't get that on a non-pandemic day.
Well, maybe. I mean, I get the beach. I lived by one for 3 years. So, but, you know, I think there's been enough that's happened that I think warrants some attention, but I believe that the situation that COVID has left us in over the last almost 14 weeks now has been able to highlight a lot of just rather interesting things that have been going on beyond COVID. And
did you know that the bureaucracy is inefficient, Nate?
You know, it took me 223 podcasts and hundreds of hours of recording, but my light bulb just went off. You're absolutely right. God, where do we begin? It took me being in the bureaucracy to get out of it and all the way to this podcast episode to realize how ineffective it is.
I kid.
But
no, we learned that part of it, Walter Reed.
That's true. We did. I guess the question is where to begin. And I think maybe we'll just start
at the beginning. We'll start and at the when beginning. You get to the end, stop.
Well, folks, that's been the episode for the evening. And thanks for
tuning
in. Well, we started talking about the President of the United States. And
what's your thought on this?
And you brought up some good points. And the first one was, the first question I ask again is how badly this guy wants to be president for another 4 years. And
that is an interesting, that would be the one Bravo perhaps, but
like, if you got that guy in a room by himself, said, look, I, off the record, no one else is here. Like, how bad, if you could just go back to Trump Tower and cash in on everything that you've created over the last 4 years, would you do it? And just go on TV, sir, you go on Fox News every single day. You can have rallies all you want. You'll have loyal supporters. Does that sound like a better situation for you? Because
I think that's certainly possible. I do. I'm not going to deny that. However, I go back to the great equalizer always being the human ego.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no bigger chair.
You're absolutely right.
However, I could be wrong. He could look at this and go, hey, I've got 5 good years left in my 70s. I'm out.
Yeah.
He's not in the best of health. He's technically obese. So he could go that way. I see him having too much pride to want to leave.
If he does leave,
it better be in a landslide. Otherwise, his supporters will say they stole it from him.
I know, and that's something interesting I wanted to talk about. But, you know, it seems like, you know, things always escalate in an election year. I mean, it's just the way it goes, right? But it seems like his presidency in terms of just polarization and, you know, scandals, whether or not you want to say he was absolved of them or not, well, he was, but whether you think he's guilty or not, it just keeps ramping up. And I don't know.
Promise me you're not about to say anything like, it's worse than 68.
No, 68, the year that, was it, shook the world?
Well, I have heard such hyperbole, okay, right. Like that, God bless her, this lady that I used to live in the same neighborhood with when I was in high school. Her husband was a professor at Southern Miss for decades. Respected author, and she made the point that this must have been what it was like. She said this on Facebook. This must have been what it was like to live during the Third Reich when you were among the innocent in Nazi Germany.
Hmm.
Talking about the cult of personality and all this for Trump, and I'm going, okay.
Huh. Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't know how
you
that
won.
All.
You
I
already wasn't... won. You compared somebody to Hitler. You broke Godwin's law with the first move.
What I'm curious about is how much this continues to accelerate with the Trump win in 2020, right? So does it slow back down? Is it back to business as usual? He's doing his tweets? Or is everything, like, for example, the executive order that was signed to somehow regulate the social media companies that just recently happened? Because, I mean, again, the president is not a fan of fake news, tweets something that,
Nate, I don't know that he's going to be satisfied until new impeachment hearings are held.
Interesting.
I mean,
does
I'm
he
not
thrive?
Being,
is it because you
I'm
think
kind
he
of being tongue in cheek with that?
But I mean, do you think he thrives? You think he thrives in that kind of environment?
I think you should take him seriously when he says he's a counterpuncher. Well, he's got to be attacked in order for it to be a counterattack.
That's true. I'm just my observations show that, like, COVID-19 illuminates a lot of it illuminates a lot of good in society. It shows that, you know, we do care about one another, whether or not that's in our own sort of group.
Are we all in this together?
Well, we're all sharing a common struggle. It's how some people are coping with it versus others. That's interesting, but It's certainly highlighting a lot of negative aspects of our society, and that even goes, I believe, all the way up to the leadership, right? And I think it somehow can be fanned by leadership itself. And I truly believe, being a leader myself and being under command of lots of leaders, we just know the difference between good leaders and bad leaders. And I'm not subscribing one to the president specifically, but what I'm saying is that a good leader unifies. I mean, that's just it. I mean, I can pull out any leadership manual. I can pull out anecdotal experience. I can pull out books. Good leaders strive to unify. And there has been no attempt at that at all. And it's, you know, it's highlighting a lot of almost what I would say almost like hypocrisies from even just the White House itself. Like, it's just confusing to me. I mean, even if I really was in the middle of the road going, I don't know if I want to vote for Joe Biden. Maybe I'll vote for Trump. I don't know. You start to see
what kind of hypocrisies you're talking about. I mean, I don't mean to be contrarian here, but no. You are being like rather opaque.
So for example, I'll point to two recent ones, and I it's hard for me to explain them away.
No, the first, I'm not asking for a drop down list.
The first one is, I take no responsibility for anything that's happened in COVID, and I'm going to leave it up to the states to essentially make the roadmap for each state. Then comes in and says he's going to override the states if they don't open churches. So I realize that's a political move just to pander to his base, but it's also for me, it's hard for me to like, should I be thinking about this hard, or should I just take it for face value and be like, this guy's just, he's playing a political game right now. The other one would be.
Do you remember when I texted you a couple of weeks ago and said, I feel like I've been gaslighting myself every day for the last, however many weeks since this whole thing, quote unquote, started right after my surgery, March 9th. Remember me texting you that?
I hear you. So let me ask you a question.
I feel like that. All right. Just macro agnostic view here. This could very easily be argued as a smokescreen.
Sure.
That's it.
And probably exactly what it is. So here's a question for you, sort of diverging from the conversation of our president. But as a religious man yourself, I grew up in a very religious family. And, you know, you can see how religious families or religious belief, and which sort of aligns with the right and conservatives, have notoriously been the law and order party. And I believe there's a verse in the Bible that says, "Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's." And I think that can be interpreted as, you know, abide by the laws of the land.
That's a separate scripture, but both are said. One is in reference to, hey, pay your taxes.
Yeah, that's one.
And the other is, hey, obey the laws of your land.
Okay. So how is it that the loudest voices of dissent to the government looking out for the welfare of its people, how is the loudest voice that religious group of people demanding their churches be open and suing the government, and like, why are they the loudest voices? So why is it that all of a sudden the law and order party,
I don't think it's about religion.
So where, as a religious person, does, like, how are you allowed to let sort of that religious practice get trumped by a political climate? Like, isn't that the number one thing that you live your life by first?
I very much understand the frustration with the reorientation, to put it mildly, of everyone's schedules. I'm grasping that. As a Roman Catholic, I believe in what's called transubstantiation. During Holy Communion, the wine becomes Christ's blood, the wafer becomes his body during Holy Communion. Okay. The reason I say that is because that means that physical connection is very important to every worship service we have.
Of course.
So I understand having drive-by communion. I understand that that is not a look we want to maintain forever. But the bottom line is, look back to stories of battle in the Old Testament. It always mentions people wearing armor and having swords. And God was sending them into battle. We don't draw anything further from that.
I guess my question is,
it means love God, but obey the government.
Okay.
That's the pattern in the Bible. I mean, you're saying, I'm being emphatic here. Okay. Because God, there's specific references in the Old Testament to battles and people having clashes with swords and spears. God clearly wasn't just waving his hand and just wiping the enemy out.
Mm-hmm.
Free will and all.
Yeah.
So I think people are, I don't think this is really about religion. I think this is, if you need the epitomization of this mentality, in my view, I'm not judging these folks. I'm just saying, look at the folks that slammed the beaches, nuts to butts, in the panhandle of Florida. That was a middle finger to the establishment. You're not going to convince me the majority of those people had a good time.
Well, depending
Getting
on how
out
much.
there with trucks, getting sunburnt, and/or sexually assaulted, God only knows. Pass out on the beach at a packed event like that, he'll be sorry.
So what you're saying, or if I hear you correctly, it's all the same sort of ideology, if you will. It is a middle finger to the establishment. But where I'm
Yes.
failing to understand is if you're teaching. If your practice, if your theology is one that espouses give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and that would be to include follow the laws of the land, what is it? Is it almost a mentality that this is the wrong law? Or
These are
what
people that already
constitutes
been following their own beliefs, though, because Christ said, if you love me, feed my sheep. So why are people starving in a country of 70+% Christians?
That's true, but I'm not here to judge who's a good Christian and who's a bad Christian because,
I think it rather speaks for itself.
well, I what I'm so would they consider themselves bad Christians, or is it literally almost a brainwashing that they get to choose that it's more of an oppression than it is a law of the land, or is it that I
I
only will
think for
follow the
some of these
laws
people,
that Or is
I
it, well,
think
that I will.
president is more important than the country to some of these people.
So it's almost like the laws of the land only apply to me if they kind of benefit me, right? Is that, I mean, that's the way it seems.
Does your right to bear arms and your right to free speech include taking a weapon, possibly loaded, you certainly threatened like it was, and screaming in the face of a police officer in your state's Capitol building?
Well, apparently they set the precedent. Well, which is funny, because I believe the Black Panthers or an armed African American group did something similar when Reagan was the governor of California. And I believe that conservative politician made some swift gun reform measures. No, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. In fact, I know that's what happened. So it's.
I like turtles.
To me, it's confusing to me because
No, we can't use that. That makes good sense, Nate. You got to move on from that.
I can't. I feel like I can't move on from that. I feel like that is the majority
You would
of
refer to Reagan.
Yeah, you're right. I also throw an Always Sunny reference in there as well, which some people may get or may not. But I guess it's
So my
troubling to
chests
me.
are blasting.
So that would be the first one, right? So that's a conundrum to me in sort of the aftermath of all this. The second would be the same people, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but the same group of people are also
Those people.
proposed small government folks. And yet,
I'm
right?
sorry.
Okay, they're small government folks, so less government. We don't want government. In
You're talking
what,
about me there.
it's true. It's true. And not all, I'm generalizing here.
No, I mean, I don't want no government, but it's
have
definitely out of
so
control.
they've elected a politician who also will drain the swamp and is doing a good job of cutting regulation, is making way for industry, cutting the corporate tax rate, bringing business back, but also is the same president that got called out on Twitter and is now signing an executive order to regulate social media companies, which the last time I checked are almost like the epitome of, minus its flaws, of course, but sort of the epitome of platforms for free speech like YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Do they fact check every person with a blue, it's a blue circle or the white check? Do they fact check every such person's posts?
I would say not everyone's, but does that
I'm just
mean,
asking.
yeah,
Now, in this
I
case,
would
I
say.
get the high profile being the president of the United States.
So my question is, is it not fair because we don't fact check everybody? And so the president shouldn't be fact checked, or is the president just butthurt? So would the president?
My personal opinion is no, absolutely. And it's not like they put a big red stamp on there saying this statement is false warning. They simply put a link on there that didn't elaborate one way or the other. It just said for further information.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they did.
So
record book.
A president who doesn't like fake news gets called out for making a potentially false statement and then gets butthurt about it to the point where he needs an executive order to regulate these companies.
You know what he's setting himself up for here, okay, is an inevitable series of court challenges. You know this. And then, at best, there's going to be two recusals in the final vote. That's 7-0.
So because he's, it's not just the president, right?
Gorsuch and Kavanaugh recused themselves, sparing him that humiliation.
What? So it's not just the president. It's this whole team around him. Are they feeding him this, or is he literally saying...
This smacks of Stephen Miller, except for the fact that it's so inane. There's no way it could work, and they know that. There's lawyers that work there. Okay, they're saying, look, there's no way this holds up. Okay, it's a very clear... Number one, this is a private company. It may have public shareholders, but this is a private corporation. Number two, it's called the First Amendment. Perhaps number one.
Probably the number one. But I guess my question is,
I'm saying this agnostically. I'm not trying to sound anti-President Trump here, because I can tell you we can start with the January 19th tweet by the WHO, the World Health Organization, if you'd like. But I can make a full-throated defense of the fact that this isn't all on the president. And I know he's in the big chair, but we also cannot allow or should strive to not allow his indecorous temperament and behavior to make us unfairly judge things to be better or worse, rather, than they actually are. I think it does lend itself to hyperbole, but that's not what we're getting at here. You know, the overall reality is that this is a political loser. It's going to lose in the Supreme Court. Your two appointees will recuse themselves for the final vote, and they know that.
So, again, is it a pandering to the base that says, look, these platforms are liberal and they unnecessarily censor conservative voices? I mean,
I think they would be better served pushing for, if that was the case, if it was a genuine belief, I think they would be better served sending another couple, three or four rounds of stimulus to farmers. They got record amounts of farmer suicide going on.
Yeah. It just seems like there's
missing the mark there.
There's so many opportunities. There's so many opportunities for this guy, and he just doesn't deliver for the most.
Following from the First Step Act with an executive order descheduling cannabis and a second executive order get it into the courts that, hey, whichever way they got to do it, that we're going to release all nonviolent cannabis related offenders. I mean, this guy, and they would follow him. It doesn't matter. It's obvious unless he held he'd have to hold a pansexual satanic mass in the White House lawn, and then maybe that third of the country would abandon him. I'm not really sure. I wouldn't bet my life on
that. I don't know about that. I just don't know what it would take. I don't.
Again, let me repeat that. A pansexual satanic mass, that would get rather awkward for a number of people.
Well, that's very true. That's very true.
But regardless, ain't going to happen, obviously. Hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, again, these are kind of the things that...
Where's Rudy Giuliani been? It's too quiet. It's like when your nephew and niece, you hadn't heard from him in half an hour.
That's a good question. I haven't thought about that guy in months.
Every time he's loose in the yard to run around for a bit, something insane happens.
We don't hear about him for a while. But
you let him off the chain and died. And then Bob Barr's been somewhat quiet.
Well, Michael Flynn thing was a little weird.
I'm to the point where I don't know what to believe there anymore. I definitely feel like that's like self-gaslighting too, because you've got a guy who's pled guilty twice saying that he was coerced into it, and then come to find out from some FISA declassifications, he was. In some ways. I mean, it could be so argued,
Sure.
The situation was there.
Again, What is the number one thing that a libertarian will tell you, or any good lawyer will tell you about the cops? Don't talk.
Oh, yeah. The next thing I have to say will be said to a lawyer.
Exactly.
Exercise your right to remain silent.
Yep. What is kind of crazy, in amidst of all of this, we do actually have a presidential election that's almost 6 months away. And
yes.
It doesn't feel like it, quite frankly. I think, you know, this was a lot different. There's a lot less going on 4 years ago. And this really be ramping up right now. And my questions are, you know, right now, for depending on what poll you're reading, it seems to be Joe Biden's a bit out in front. Again, this is so early, so your analysis of this, I think, could change. But it seems like part of the president's, you could imagine that part of the president's strategy to get everything reopened might not have been the same maybe 2 years ago if this happened. But the fact that we are in an election year, we are 6 months away, and the president thrives in the political rally atmosphere, that maybe that's a little bit of the strategy behind this, because he needs to push states to get open so that he can show his ass up in stadiums and get media attention. Because right now, he doesn't have what he had last year at this time, was endless CNN coverage and Fox News coverage of his rallies. His face was all over TV, and it wasn't necessarily in a negative light. It was literally him talking. And there obviously was analysis after, but I think people were so worn out to follow up on that. But he does not have that same exposure right now that he did 4 years ago. And my question is, can Joe Biden sort of just continue to play this long game? They're going to have more than enough ad material, especially just around COVID, to be able to just use, where Trump doesn't have his sort of back pocket or ace up his sleeve, which is these rallies where he gets a lot of exposure. And so I'm curious on your thoughts on how this could potentially impact. Now, again, my prediction for the election still kind of remains the same. And, you know, I still think that this president has a huge chance of re-election.
The betting odds agree with you.
Yeah, has a huge chance of re-election. And if the economy continues to pick up, or does pick up in Q3, it doesn't mean that the economy will go back necessarily to the best economy, or the economy pre-COVID. But you can make the argument with statistics that show that it's the best economy that there's ever been. We've made the most gains in job creation, which, again, if you drop 50% from 10, let's just say there's 10 units of the economy, 10, just 10, pick a number, and you drop 50%, you're now down to 5. But if the economy picks up 50% from 5, it's not 10. So you have to be really careful with your statistics and your math when, if you're trying to examine an ad that comes across going, hey, look, we created 2 million jobs in Q3, as if it's a huge win, and we're slated to have the most job growth we've ever had. And that, I think that's alarmingly wrong. I mean, they're not wrong, but it's in the context of where we were, it's wrong. And so I'm just, all these factors, you know, if that does happen in Q3, there'll be a lot of, there'll be a big ability of the Trump campaign to capitalize on that.
The economy's obviously the looming X factor here, okay? If there's anything even remotely resembling a V-shaped recovery, then I don't personally see it this way, folks. I want to make this very clear. But in the strategy rooms, the smoke-filled rooms, if you will, it's going, any casualties will be viewed as acceptable losses. Any real divergence you see from that is going to be people that have personally lost someone, and that's it. If this is a recovery that is anything like, because the reality is, it statistically speaking could be a phenomenal recovery from the perspective of any short-term rebound in employment, anything towards full employment is going to obviously beat any metrics we currently have, given possible 30% second quarter unemployment. We're not really sure yet just how bad it's been. So any rebound is obviously going to seem extreme in the short term. But I'd like to get back to it. Really, the ball is entirely in the former vice president's court here, okay? The vice president, if I had anything to say to him tonight, would be stay in your basement and don't talk for long, okay? Let other people endorse you, cool. But let the president use the rope that's being given him, okay? And since Joe Biden said what he said, referencing making a poor use of colloquialisms, if you will, and saying, you know, you're not black if you vote Republican was the gist of it, okay? I get it. But in the expanse of that over Labor Day weekend, I believe I sent you the link on CNN talk about referencing a conspiracy theory regarding current media personality and former Florida Republican Representative Joe Scarborough. And he's talking about Stacey Abrams hitting every buffet restaurant in Georgia. It's like,
really? The Scarborough tweet, I think, needs some elucidation, right? Because essentially he
brought out a conspiracy theory and said that perhaps forensic experts ought to be brought in, more or less, wink, wink, saying that, no, she didn't just have a seizure or fall and hit her head. There's something, you know, implying that Joe Scarborough murdered her or covered up a murder. Completely unfounded.
That's the president of the United States, folks.
I'm not going to say it was completely unfounded, folks. I'm just going to challenge you to go in there and find anything that's not on Stormfront or from Alex. I hate the chemicals they put in the water to make the frogs gay Jones. I challenge you to find anything not there or from Sputnik. That's where we're at.
So what you're saying is the former vice president literally doesn't need to do really anything. Let people endorse him.
Don't say anything else wrong.
Don't talk to Charlemagne and get that chummy. Just literally toe the line. Say the right thing.
I get it why culturally millennial males in particular are being drawn towards the president. I get it. They're frustrated with the social contract, as it were. It is a confusing time. I get it, in certain social circumstances, to be a straight male, okay? Dating's a little weird these days. Is it okay? Like the young lady that texted me, she was like, do men approach women in the wild anymore? I said, that are we allowed to? You know, so it's a little bit weird. But you look past these dynamics, okay? And look at a bigger picture issue. And that is the voter that swung exponentially for President Trump in 2016. And that is the voter that saw both candidates as reprehensible. Okay? Like turd versus douche, like in South Park, that's how they epitomized the election. It's classic, folks. Look it up on Hulu from 2016. You'll appreciate it.
That's great.
Appreciate it. Giant douche versus some turd. I don't remember. You know, so anyway, so that vote swung for Trump, 2016. Let's go round. It's 41%, I believe, lead for Joe Biden in that category.
Yep.
I cannot overstate the importance of that poll as of right now. Now, this isn't the election day, and polls don't elect candidates. I'm aware of that. But it speaks to a bigger issue here that, Joe, you haven't hardly been able to get your name in the news cycle, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. That's, to me, not
a negative.
This guy's
going to alienate everybody except for the 33% that will never leave him.
Yeah.
Let it.
So do you think that Trump would have an ability, because I don't think his message is any different. I don't think he has anything new to offer if he goes and does his political rallies and gets good airtime. Do you think that given open states, given no COVID-19, that even if we had the kind of hyperpolarization we had, but states were open enough, maybe there was a vaccine, does he garner enough support by doing those rallies to beat Joe Biden? Like, what would change in Joe Biden's strategy or people just genuinely like disillusioned with the president and don't want another, you know, so maybe they're just, there's a good portion of the population that just don't want another 4 years of what Trump helped create over the last
It's exhausting.
Years. It's exhausting, exactly. So, again, it kind of leads me back to my initial point, like, or question rather, is does, given everything remaining constant, except for the president can do rallies and people can show up, does that boost his chances? Like, are there enough people out there that are still on the fence the way they were in 2016?
Well, the rallies do show a certain amount of energy. You got to remember, this is a guy who, when struggling in business, his only real assets at the time, in the early 80s, being those that his father guaranteed to him, he still knew enough to have gold-plated Trump license plates affixed to the front of his limo because of the air of success in Italian. He knew he was never going to be Manhattan money. It wasn't the point. Talking about a guy that so embraced the bad publicity is better than none, that via pseudonym leaked the details of the affair that broke up his marriage.
Yeah.
So with that, we're talking about someone who understands what the rallies show when they're packed houses and then slowly but surely the economy's ticking up, if all holy hell or unholy, whichever, break hell doesn't break loose 12 to 15 days after Memorial Day, we'll see. But the ball's got to bounce his way here a little bit. Not saying that it can't. If it does, this gets a lot more competitive. And take into account the continued uptick of his support amongst Hispanics in Florida and Texas, and the uptick compared to recent Republican presidents amongst black men support. There's a couple of there's a couple of underlying factors here that could make him more competitive in certain places, but picking needless fights like the one with the Alabama Senate race is unnecessary. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, there's certain areas where it's like, all right, you acknowledge, sir, that you're not a politician, so let the tacticians do their job.
Yeah. But then again, that's where that ego gets in the way, I suppose, a little bit.
It does. I mean, but I also see this as something where, granted, it won't be something you could follow as a model for parliamentary debate in high school or college, but in terms of the debates, presidential debates as we have them, they're going to goad Biden into an in-person debate, okay?
But who does that benefit, though? I feel like that benefits – Biden's not the greatest debater.
It benefits Trump, but Biden is going to get goaded into it. You know, they're not, I mean, the first time since nobody can remember – there wasn't a presidential debate, and it's the great equalizer here, again, is the human ego. I'll be shocked if Biden doesn't do it. I suppose it depends on who his running mate is, but which that's another conversation altogether. Yeah, I still stand by that Senator Harris, Kamala Harris, is his best choice.
Oh, God, not Klobuchar, not Klobuchar. That'd be the worst pick. I understand why. It's obviously trying to reach out to that moderate conservative Democrat, but they don't even like her, so I don't know, just don't even entertain it. I just feel like
I say stay away from Klobuchar and Warren.
Yeah, I feel like if I had to pick between the two, though, I'd go with Warren.
So would I, but it's still a mistake. Number one, she was a Republican for longer than she's been a Democrat. Even she has accepted corporate money this go around. She comes with too much baggage. It's just not. I think you're making a mistake. I would go with Stacey Abrams or Senator Harris would be my first choice.
I mean, I certainly believe Abrams has more energy than Pence does, and Warren does too. Klobuchar's energy is certainly matched by.
Okay, Elizabeth Warren ran across a field on the way to a rally. I mean, no, if anybody. Okay, all right. I'm going to stop right there, but I. Any number of people there have more energy, quote, than Mike Pence.
Well, I would say Klobuchar.
She probably does, but
But it doesn't.
That's probably the worst choice he can make.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't feel. I feel like that's going to be the choice.
Outside of a white dude, probably the worst political choice he could make.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Anyway, I'm happy that we
a lot to get off our chest.
Yeah. It's nice to have an episode that's really not completely COVID related. I mean, again, it's certainly still out there. It's certainly still wreaking probably more havoc on the economy than it is on on the health of people, although we did pass the 100,000 death mark.
Thank God for the Federal Reserve.
Man, the Federal Reserve in the last 15 years will be the case study over and over in business school and in econ school, finance school.
All the hate they get, but I'm really grateful they're there.
Holy crap.
That's another episode for sure.
I was going to say, that's a completely different episode, but I think Jerome Powell, I've always just called him Powell. I'm thinking Jared Polis, our governor. Goodness, it's getting late. Jerome Powell, I think, could potentially be the hero at the end of this.
So, as of right now, he is.
Yeah. And yeah, I think we owe another episode to maybe just more of an econ finance episode. Doesn't have to be as long because I know a lot of people don't find that as exciting, but there's just a lot of interesting stuff going on right now.
We could do magic. We could pat it.
There's just a lot of interesting stuff going on. We're seeing a lot of corporate bankruptcies. We're seeing a lot of corporate bond issuance. And, I think a lot of huge retailers, which I think that domino is going to continue to fall as you see more retailers file for bankruptcy.
They have no choice but to say the municipal bond market. I mean, that's notwithstanding the corporate bond market. But, I mean, they kept your local community governments from collapsing overnight. Any of them that need financing, which is, last time I checked, all of them.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation and maybe good for...
The damn it is.
Good 20-minute conversation. Otherwise, I think people check out on that one. But maybe we've got a lot of finance folks out there. I don't know.
You know what? I'll make it particularly robust. And, you know, as always, vive la France. We appreciate your joining us here. They're probably relieved to know that there is life in American media.
Indeed, indeed. Well, hey, look, we're almost past that 40-minute mark. I've got a little bit more homework to do, and I'm glad that we were able to get on this.
You're undoubtedly sexy, and I miss that.
Gosh,
that hard left presence in my life.
Lord. Well, as always, to our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in, and thank you for making this one of or the only podcast that you listen to. I hope you listen to more. And being an awesome educated listener base. So, as always, my friend, until next time,
au revoir.
We'll see you.